Scott, did I do this right? Is this on? I just want to make sure everybody can hear. A, B, C, D.
It's not on.
It's not on yet. Is it on now?
Is there a green light on here?
Yep. Yeah. Is that on? Can you hear now? Great. Yes? Yes? Sort of. Maybe a little louder?
Yeah.
Okay. No problem. Yes. Of course. Could it get it? I did, and my hair is going to keep moving it around.
They're really annoying.
It's a casualty of the hair. All right. That's good?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
So I have this new mantra that I'd like you to repeat after me, just because it helps me. Maybe it'll help you too, but as you can tell, my mind does a lot of things because my body does a lot of things. So my new mantra in my classes and in any kind of public setting I go into now says, a lot of things happened before this, a lot of things will happen after this. Please be here with me now so that I can be here with you now. So I have to do that for myself, so hopefully it gives us all a little grounding. So in your program, I think it says something like choices, changes, challenges. I have this weekly encouragement blog called Steps and Stages, and I talked yesterday about 12 years of brave, you know, not 12 years of slave, 12 years of brave. And it came about because a friend of mine and I were talking. I have the same 8 girlfriends I've had since kindergarten. And we just recently hit the year where most of us turn 40. So we've been flying all over the country trying to surprise each other and be there for each other. And in that last celebration, which happened a couple weeks ago, we realized that I am the one who talks to most of the people, right? So the 8 of us. We're not all 8 besties, right? It's 8 people with children and lives that span Afghanistan and all countries. You know, it's too much to be in contact in time zones, right? But I try to make a point of connecting with at least one of them every month so I can know what's going on in their lives. So it came about that I know the most about everybody. And so one of my friends said, well, how do you know the most about everybody? I said, well, I realized a long time ago that my life is the strangest one. And people don't know what my day-to-day is like. And for my normal to even get close to your normal, I have to know how to bridge that gap. Because people used to think, even among my 8 girlfriends, that, oh, I can't call Crystal, she's too busy. And it was like, no, you're my friend. I'm never too busy for that, right? And so I started to just reach out to them. And so it came about that the reason I do that and part of the reason I do this weekly encouragement blog is because over the last 12 years, there's been so much change in my life that I don't assume that anyone should know what's going on. So I reach out and I tell them and I check in and I figure that out. So I'm gonna give you a little recap. Over the last 12 years, I've canceled a wedding. I've had a kid. I've gone through a 5-year custody battle. I've watched that sibling go in and out of prison twice. I have bought 2 pieces of property. I have buried my mother. I have become an orphan. I have moved to Vermont. I have gotten a graduate degree. I have become the first Black woman at Middlebury to be tenured. I have become Gabe's mom for the last 9 years. In the last 5 months, I became the legal guardian for a 16-year-old. And the list just keeps going. Right? So the idea that change is something that's, you know, like Octavia Butler says, we'll talk about later, it's the only thing that's constant, right? And the idea that these things could be conceived as challenges, but when we look at them from a different perspective, it's just like Anne just said, they're knitting together the self that we're becoming, right? And so what I want to check in with you this morning about is this idea of challenges, choices, and changes. So let's talk about the challenge piece first. So most of you know I'm a practicing Christian. I'm the woman who rides around with the Jesus license plate, not to, you know, intimidate people, but just to put my role model out in front. Like I'm trying to be this every day. Hard job, even in traffic. Right? So when I look at this and I think about what I've been studying for the last 8 or 9 years, I think about perseverance, right? And we use this word perseverance in a way that seems like we're always overcoming something. But people persevere in this day and age just to get out of the bed, right? This, what we were talking about with the children, this idea of choices becomes, for the age group that I teach at the college, analysis paralysis. There's so much information that they're bombarded with every day that the choice just to get out of the bed can seem daunting, right? And so they have to persevere at everything they do just to open their eyes in the morning and to step out of bed and to meet the world with all of its information that's pouring into them and at them, right? And so when I think about what perseverance means, I think about it as a call to compete, right? And so if we think about persevering through training as an athlete, you know, most of my life has been spent as a dancer, and I have to show up at a bar every day and do this thing that supposedly is going to make me better. And I can look at it as a habit, or I can look at it as a ritual. I can wake up in the morning and do this stretching thing as if it's something I have to do, or it's something I get to do. And I can think that it's either going to make me better on the other side, or I'm going to be able to check it off my list and think to myself, I'm a good person. Right? So there's a difference in what we do with that. So if we think of it as a contest or a competition, we often have a competitor. And sometimes that competitor makes us feel as though we're better than other people, but it really just should be about competing with the self. Right? Who am I going to be? Am I going to be better than I was yesterday? Am I going to look at this obstacle? Am I going to look at my teenage nephew today and love him? Rather than like, I don't know what I would like to do right now with him. Just being perfectly honest, right? Like, so I have a young man in my home who I did not raise, who is being used to me for the last 16 years of his life being his fun aunt, who flies in, picks him up, takes him somewhere, and takes him back home. No more fun aunt. Right? And so in that day, in every moment, I have to remind myself that we don't know each other. And I have to make that evident to him every day. I have to say, sweetheart, I know it's hard to say because we're family, but I don't know you and you don't know me. So we got to start from scratch, right? And so that competition is not about me competing with him. I'm not competing with a child. I'm competing with myself to enable my own wisdom to make better choices in front of him so that now he has a model to be a better him, right? So I'm not competing with him. I'm competing with myself. And so when we wake up and think of perseverance and challenges in that way of being a competitor with the person we were 2 seconds ago, not even yesterday, because yesterday is too far away. A lot of things happened yesterday. A lot of things going to happen tomorrow. I got to deal with the right now. Yeah? And so in James 1, 2 through 4, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I told my girlfriends the other day, I said, over the last 12 years, honey, I ain't lacking nothing. I have been through the ringer. You understand? And so one of my girlfriends asked the other day, she said, but Chris, how do you do it? I said, you know, I'm not really sure. Not really sure. I just wake up and show up. And that's not easy every day. But it's something, again, that I learned from dancing. You show up. You could do the same show 8 times a week. It's not your business to make the show what you feel like it should be, because the people out there bought a ticket and they've never seen it before. It's always going to be their first time. Could be your 50th. You can't give them the 50th show. You give them their first show every time. Right? So that type of discipline of challenging myself to put my feelings and my emotions aside and use those as markers and inclinations of what could be happening or what should be happening is the part of the competition. Yeah? So these challenges come in many forms, right? We can look at them from household, family, work, spiritual, emotional. But then we have to somehow cultivate this idea of discernment. And this is hard for me, right? We were just talking about with the kids about making choices. But making choices is the end of determining judgment, right? And they were very good about ingredients, because that's the top. Like, if you can assess what something is made of, a situation, a person, a job, a challenge, then you can decide if those ingredients are going to get you the outcome you need. You can't make cornbread with just flour. I mean, I'm from the South. You sure can't make no cornbread with just no flour. Right? You can't substitute soda water for the milk in the cornbread. You just can't do it. Those ingredients are not going to get you the same results, right? And so when we're thinking about these choices, we have to think about how we're discerning things. Are we looking at things through a lens of comfort, or are we looking at things through a lens of growth? And there's a really amazing school out in San Jose, California. It's called the Hillbrook School. And from the age of kindergarten, they give children 4 pairs of glasses. And they teach them how to see things through different lenses. So they say, put on your racial lens glasses right now. Put on your socioeconomic lens glasses right now. Put on your selfish glasses right now. And when the children put those glasses on, their mindset changes, right? Because what we see is often what we believe is real. And the more that we perceive something as reality, the more it becomes part of our belief system, right? So if something, we see it over and over, it becomes a pattern. We have no choice but to replicate that pattern because we are creatures of habit. The more we see something, the more we do something, the more it becomes a part of what we think we should do until someone disrupts that pattern, right? And some of you know I teach entrepreneurship and innovation, so a disruption to the industry is what I'm always looking for, right? Airbnb is a disruption to the hotel industry, yeah? So when we think about something that can get right in and change the perception of how we use, how we share, and how we grow, then that's discernment. Making a choice to do the same thing. Oh, hello, Darian. My nephew found his way. Everyone, please say good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, there is a God. Ha, Shabbat. Woo, hallelujah. Now, where we're from, it might end up like this.
All right.
Okay. Woo, who knows? Yeah, ooh, I don't want to know. So the word discernment can have several meanings, and it can describe the process of determining God's desire in a situation for one's life, or identifying the true nature of a thing, such as discerning whether a thing is good or bad, or may transcend the limiting notion of duality. Right, because we live in duality. We live in good, bad, black, white, up, down, fat, skinny, poor, rich, blah. We live in that. And some people think, well, that's how we make good choices. That's how we put things in their right position, and that's how we move forward. I would say that's how we limit our capacity for understanding. Right? We use, what, 5%, 10% of our brain because we begin to limit things from the beginning. Right? Our patterns are wake up, put our pants on, right leg, left leg, maybe brush our teeth now, have our coffee first. We get into routines that make us feel safe. And sometimes those routines make us feel successful. Like we've arrived, we've created enough comfort for ourselves, so we continue to do that pattern over and over as if we have established a mode of our own reality. One, because we can control what that pattern looks like and all of the pieces are of our own ownership. And two, because it would take too much time, effort, and mostly patience to undo that pattern and do something else. You ever tried to fast? Fast, like give up something, you know, yeah. And you're like, oh, but this is when I usually have that piece of candy. Oh, what am I gonna do now? Right? And so the whole idea of fasting, right, used to be that people would fast overnight and breakfast is the break the fast, right? And the fasting is so that when you give up something, you replace that with more time with God or the higher spiritual being that you believe in. But we don't do that. When there's one thing we can't have, we replace it with something else. We don't leave that space open for patience, for renewal, right? So the idea that we have to use discernment in making these choices, otherwise we just continue to do a pattern over and over again. So in Romans 7, 15 through 24, it says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do, what I want is what I do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Now, we use words all the time, and I live in academia, so I know a lot of people think they mean things, but words really don't mean anything unless people understand them. And the Bible says in all things you have to get understanding. And so I have a habit that when my anger flares up, I assess who I'm talking to, and I use words that they cannot understand because that's how I get even. I'm just being totally honest. That's my go-to. I don't curse, I don't demean people, but I just create so much confusion that you can't even follow me. That's my anger. That's how my anger flares up. It's true. And so in that, what I've learned to do is to, when I feel myself doing that, sometimes with my nephew, I say, "Do you know what I just said?" Because I get so angry, I know that he has no idea what I'm saying. I'm just like, "Brr." And he, he'll tell you. He can talk to him later at the refreshments. But the idea is that we all have a go-to, right? We all have a go-to pattern. And that could be about anger, it could be about sadness, it could be about hunger, it could be about loneliness. Whenever something hits you at your core, you have a go-to. And that pattern is either productive or not. And sometimes if we stay in that unproductive pattern over and over, we become that thing, right? And so sin, when we use it here, or when we use it anytime, sin literally means that we miss the mark. Right? It's an old archery term. They used to use it, you shoot, miss, sin. Right? Didn't quite hit the bullseye. Right? So the idea that we are just missing the mark, that there is something that we set out to do every day, and as soon as it comes right up on us, we just revert to the same old pattern, rather than saying, "Oh, I know what you are. Let me do something different." Right? When that temptation comes to have the chocolate that we're not supposed to have, or to have the other piece of dessert, or to, not do the laundry because it's Saturday. Right? That discipline that we're trying to just keep ahead of the game because we know it'll make it easier later. Sometimes we can't stay on board with our own good intentions. Not other people's intentions, because that's a whole other story. People expect things all the time. Another one of my faults is that I'm an artist. I have unrealistic expectations of people and myself. And I try to meet them. You can tell. Right? You heard the bio. I'm trying to be. Oprah is my spirit animal. Right? That's my new t-shirt campaign. They'll be on sale next week, I promise. Oprah is my spirit animal. And some people get really disturbed by that because they're like, "She's a person. You cannot worship a person." And I'm like, nobody said I was worshiping Oprah. What I'm trying to inhabit is the space of feeling as though all my gifts, talents, and intuition are valuable in the world. That's what she does. That's the archetype she's created. That gifts, possibilities, and challenges can lead you into a purposeful life. So she's my spirit animal. Again, t-shirts next week. Okay. So in this idea of challenges and choices, we have perseverance, we have discernment, and then we get to the changing part, right? That's when we walk right up on this thing and we have a decision to make. We know it's challenging for us. We hit it, we run up against it every day. We see this person in the office every day. They say the same crazy thing to us every day, and we just go and walk away. When we know in our mind, later on, we're going to replay this scenario in our mind 15 times, and all that shoulda, woulda, coulda, I shoulda said this, she said it again, I shoulda said this. All that is going to keep building up, and we're not going to say it. We're just going to stay in that same pattern, but we could say it. We could just level the playing field really quickly and say, not something demeaning or something in an angry pattern, but say, "I'm working on something. because it's really about you. It's not about them. I'm working on something. And each day when we have this interaction where you say, hey, how are you? And you don't wait to see how I really am and you walk on by, it's disturbing to me. So I would prefer that while I'm in this season of working on myself, if you could not ask me when you don't actually have time to know. And if that's okay with you, that's okay with me. I will not take it personally that you are not speaking to me. I will not be offended. I will just know that you do not have time to engage in the types of conversations that I feel like are meaningful and valuable and that cultivate authentic relationships. What's somebody gonna say to that? They're gonna say, well, I'ma keep asking you anyway. Okay. Right? But that's patterning. It takes a lot of work to undo the pattern. And everybody might not like you undoing the pattern because then it might mean that they have to undo their pattern. But the more we unravel these unproductive patterns, the more productive we can be as a community, as a workplace, as a family, right? And it takes work. So making choices is about transformation and change. It actually means the act or the instance of becoming different.